Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's have a bowl and a biscuit, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair. Scotland were denied in Spain and Wales gubbed Gibraltar. It's Friday 13th of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Everybody, good to have you with us. It's Friday the 13th.
Ooh. Oh, little spooky boy. Three little spooky boys on three yeah. Spooky international boys.
Really?
International ghosts.
Oh no, Peter. You said the G word.
French Halloween pumpkins.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. They'd probably make a delicious meal out of it.
I think they would.
They would, yes.
Yeah, they're very good at that.
They're very good at making delicious Halloween meals, the French.
Yeah, get yourself over there, everybody, in time. And we'll have a right old ball. Did you... what, Jim, what?
Just like you arranging to meet the listeners in France for a lovely
for Halloween, a meal,
Halloween meal.
For a bit of pumpkin.
Sometimes these conversations go in directions you just don't expect.
Join Marcus on the Champs-Élysées.
The Champs-Élysées. And it'll be a fine time, everybody. Yeah. I'm as loathed as I am.
Let's loathe as you
seen,
are.
Yeah,
I've
not
seen,
loathe.
I've seen, you eat, I've seen you eating pret-a-manger, mate. Ham and cheese all the way.
That's not true at all.
That's not true at all.
I love this smoked salmon sandwich.
You do love that sort of Scottish.
Is it Scottish salmon? Yeah. I don't know. What, is there anything I can have? Is there anything that I'm going to put in my mouth that you're not going to criticise?
No! Right. That's very much our dynamic, Marcus.
Oh, Marcus, you were talking about how loathed and perhaps despised you are. What were you going to say?
As loathed as I am, Jim. Thank you for correcting me there. We're going to go and talk about some football. Spain 2, Scotland 0. It did happen. Difficult to find. On the old telly box.
It's so annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, I forget every single time that this has been on Skype. Nope.
Got to use Andy Brassel's Viaplay login again. Not even sure if he still knows I'm doing it, but it's working.
You're like a Callus X using the Netflix.
But you go in and it's like somebody's watching Turkey v Croatia. Oh, Brassel's logged in again.
What I like about these kind of like channels is that when you go on there, it's like, this user interface I can handle.
Right.
It's your other ones that they overcomplicate things. They make it too easy for simpletons and too hard for clever people.
Yeah.
I think. And I'm nowhere near the second of that particular place.
There's also a really jarring thing where they don't have any punditry.
Yeah.
So it just half time is it's just loads of adverts and
just like a floating camera in the stadium.
Just well, get anyone, mic anyone.
There are highlights, but it's weirdly ghostly.
It feels like a feed more than a channel.
It feels like you. It feels like you. Even if you are paying for it, you're somehow, you know, not. Mm. A bit like when Match of the Day, which they just showed the brief highlights that time.
Yes,
the Gary Lineker situation.
And
you got like loads of absolute planks. We're like, oh, this is better if anything.
Yeah. I was doing some work over the last international tournament, and we were backstage in town, and we had the official feed from FIFA, and there was just this guy who
was
sits
it a clean
there.
Feed or a dirty feed?
Well, it was pretty clean, I think. Okay, yeah, but right. It was just a man. The video feed for 20 minutes before the match was just a man with a clapperboard going click. Click.
All right.
Click.
His big
click.
Moment.
So that, like, sure he and he right. will have been seen globally by so many people because they were all taking the raw.
Yeah,
kind
but
of
we
FIFA
didn't get
feed.
To see him. We had a lot of pundits and highlights
know,
packages
boring.
And stuff. Oh my
absolutely
goodness,
absolutely boring.
Such a shame. Mm. But yeah, so Spain did beat Scotland 2-0, which did ruin the Scottish party down
did,
in in southern Spain.
The referee
although
did
well, Peter. So we should say if Norway failed to get any kind of result against Spain on Sunday, Scotland will qualify. For the Euros,
I mean that'll bloody do.
That
they would have taken
great.
That with 15 hands if they had.
They would have done. I think that if you'd have said to Scotland, "Oh, you'll go away from Spain losing that game," and you'll be like, "Ah, oh, that's annoying. That's a bit. That's kind of dampened the mood slightly." Think what? How? You know? Because I mean, you know, it's the hardest game on paper. And it shows you what they've done in this qualifying campaign so far. But it could have been different had Scott McTominay's goal been allowed. Now, it was rightly ruled out for offside. There was
you
a bit of...
correct, Theo?
Yeah, absolutely. It's right. a correct decision, yeah. And I don't think anybody... I think Stevie Clark sort of begrudgingly accepted the decision as well.
None of this is good for TikTok. Can you disagree with it, please, Marcus?
Well, he said there was no way in the world that the keeper would have saved it. So he's kind of like... maybe we wouldn't have saved it. It's like, doesn't matter.
If you're making that argument, you've kind of already lost.
Is that the rules now? Yeah. It's like, well, he wouldn't have saved it. Well, it doesn't matter if he's offside. So
I'm brilliant.
It is one that's not not obvious at first, isn't it? It's a very, very frustrating.
Yeah, but that's what VAR's there for.
Well, indeed. No, but you watch that a few times, and like initially it was given as a foul, right?
Mm.
And like,
there was confusion over why it was given, which I think was a bit of frustrating
for
some people.
I was looking so hard at it, I thought it was going to be one of those sort of jump scare videos where like a woman goes, ah! In the foreground while I'm looking for the actual infringement.
Yeah, or is it a magic eye? If you look close enough,
there is
an
infringement
offside.
Yeah, you can see a card. Mm.
It wasn't given. And it was a shame because it was an absolute peach. It was an absolute beauty. It would have been one of the great free kicks of our time, Jim.
Would it?
Yeah. We were robbed of that. I mean,
one of Viaplay's very best goals.
Exactly, yeah. But
the angle it comes in from is very unusual to score from there. It was genuinely was an absolute screamer. Yeah, gutted for McTominay.
I know, yeah.
And Scotland.
Well, I mean, he's been in such prolific form, of course, McTominay. That would have... I think would that have nudged him ahead in the goal scoring charts?
It was only Lukaku ahead of him, wasn't it?
Oh, that's right.
Day,
it was,
so
yeah.
I'm not sure how many Lukaku's on, but he would have been tracking him down. Had
he would have been, yes.
Stood.
But the goal wasn't given. And then Spain would later score two goals. Alvaro Morata, among the goals again. Often
he's
criticized.
Really reliable, isn't he, Morata, for that?
Yeah, people say, oh, yeah.
Until a certain point.
Well, but you say at a certain point, but he did score in the semi-final of the last Euros. So you're saying in the final?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't score in the final.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
okay, that's...
if you'd ever played the game, Marcus, you'd know what I was talking about.
The second goal, was it Hickey who looked like he got snipered? An unfortunate fall.
Yeah, he got snipered, fell over, and then the ball bounced really unfortunately off him to a point where he was never going to recover it. Yeah. Really felt for him.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. I mean, look, as I say...
A lot of fun. Hossaloo got on the pitch.
There you go.
If in many ways, Spain winning and, you know, Scotland allowing them to win, just buoys Spain to beat Norway, surely.
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 Well, you
is that how it would work?
I think so, yeah. I mean, look, and by the way, speaking of throwbacks, lovely to see the 37-year-old Jesus Navas on the pitch. Got an assist for the
sparkling
opener.
Sparkling eyes as well.
Oh,
eyes
always
fade over time, not with Navas.
Eyes fade over time.
Eyes fade over time.
Explain that to me.
Well,
eyes fade on
time. I think all the information you need is in the statement, is it not?
No, but why? Do they change colour?
I don't know.
Yours haven't changed.
They get glassy. You get glaucoma, and you get
exactly.
What's the fungus?
No, but fine. But surely from the outside looking in, they don't change.
Yeah, no, but people's eyes, they lose a bit of sparkle.
Yeah,
a bit of
they
get older.
Cataracts.
You're only just realising this.
Well.
You got an older dog. Looking at his eyes.
On your eyes, didn't you?
Yeah, no, I never sort of look at, oh, he's, you know, his eyeballs are wrinkly.
His eyeballs are wrinkly.
The carrot there is fading. Look at Wayne Rooney's eyes. As yeah. Pete once said, they look like two jewels in a butcher's bin, was it?
Something like that.
Now he just looks like a whaler. So.
Oh, dear.
He does look like a merchant seaman.
He does, doesn't he?
He
like yeah. someone,
yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about Bob Marley.
Well, there we are, everybody.
Good. Dad of two.
I'm glad we've got that all sorted.
God, so, yeah. We don't even get those jokes. Your kids are going to be like, he's talking a different language to us.
Bob Marley and the Wailers.
I understand it
so
now.
I did get the joke,
but we shouldn't do.
Honestly, the listeners have just picked themselves up off the floor laughing. They're like, why are they having to explain that to Pete Donaldson? You used to play that kind of stuff on your old radio station.
I did, I was bashing out the Wailers, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When you were a DJ.
I was a DJ with my records.
DJ Donaldson. Rodri. He of Manchester City and Spain fame said post-match, I want to clarify my respect for the Scotland team.
He had a driving run and shot late on that made me think, oh, you're trying to have a dig here, aren't you? Trying to really put the cherry on this.
I want to clarify my respect because there is a man drinking fortified wine near me, scowling.
Well, Scotland's still top, of course, with 15 points. Spain behind them on 12 with one game in hand. But it's Norway who are third. With 10 points, having played the same amount of games as Scotland, with it all to do.
Mm.
So again, Scotland are pretty much... Scotland are there.
They're there. Enjoy it, guys.
I know Scotland are going, oh, don't say that. Come on. Norway have got to beat Spain.
I'd really like to see Norway at the Euros, though, as well.
Instead of Scotland?
Not instead of Scotland.
Instead of Spain.
All three of them, if the playoffs allow for that, which I believe they do.
Right.
Because that would just be good, wouldn't it?
You just want to see your man Odegaard, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and Haaland there as well. Okay. And obviously the Soloth.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough.
Is that controversial? Do you want to see some really good players at the Euros?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we running scared as England fans?
No, I know what you mean. You want to see certain players, but they're not that great a team.
Mm.
We've been...
Well, good, we'll beat them then.
Okay, fine. Get them there.
Haaland could have played for England, as we know, born in Leeds.
Yeah.
And we need to show him that he made the wrong choice.
And them not qualifying wouldn't be enough of them.
No.
Okay. Well, let us move on to Wales versus Croatia, which is happening on Sunday. Of course, Wales won their sarcastic friendly, as you build it, Jim, mm-hmm. against Gibraltar 4-0. All the goals coming in the first half. Lovely old job.
Yeah. Four debuts, four goals. Good night, Gibraltar.
There we are. Charlie Savage impressed so much on his debut that he's been allowed to stay with the squad for the game against Croatia. Is that how it works?
What is it like? It's like a dead man's hand. You sort of keep pushing, or you'd get thrown off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you UEFA allow that. You can't have an extra man just because he played well.
Right.
No, I think they've had a couple of injuries and whatnot, so he's in there. Rob Page
had a great game.
Beautiful cross for Moore's header.
Yeah, indeed. Rob Page said we blocked his father Robbie from speaking to him all week, which was a big achievement. Flipping heck!
Do they know that? Surely he can just shout, can't he, from wherever he is?
And he will.
Yeah,
man, he will.
I've got a, you know, we've.
Do you know where the remote is?
I think what they've got. You know, sometimes if you go, have you seen? I don't know. We have one at church where the drummer is in a little glass case.
A little glass case to help with the reflections. Mm.
And sometimes you know, if you need to keep the noise in a bit, do they sort of keep Robbie Savage in a glass
in a little
box?
Case? It's not a bad idea.
So
is
he
it?
Can still shout away,
Charlie. Yeah. You need a lift.
Yeah, but nobody can hear him. Yeah. Is that Robbie again?
Is that an Afghan hound? I still don't know. Yeah, we've said a lot of mean things about Robbie Savage over the years, and a lot of those things are fair. But
okay, good. I mean, this isn't Robbie Savage, this is his son.
No,
completely
but
different man.
I have to say, Robbie Savage, when he's talking about Wales and doing punditry about Wales, I really like him.
Yeah,
because I think
yeah.
when it comes to international football, it's fair enough for people to be a bit more of a fan.
Oh.
And this whole thing is just adorable.
Yes.
I just love how much he's loving this and how well his son is playing.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Completely deserved. He's clearly there on merit.
You sort of see
very wholesome.
After that, I can't remember which match was it. Is it when they beat the Belgium? No, is it when they beat the
Belgium in Euro 2016?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the next day, Robbie Savage was on the telly, and he was clearly still having a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's a very diplomatic
one of my favourite footballing moments.
Basically, you want to put him.
I was just fine, actually. Hiya, Robbie.
You just want to put him in a place where he doesn't want to be contrary.
Yes,
that's
exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So with Wales,
nothing to prove, no point to make.
Exactly, that's what we want. Well, Wales, of course, are on 7 points. They're six behind Turkey, 3 points off Croatia. So a defeat against Croatia would all but end their hopes. But if they beat them,
which they've already done,
yeah.
Did they draw?
No,
they
drew.
Sorry,
they drew. It was a late equaliser.
Perisic is out. Kramaric,
yeah.
Petkovic.
They look a bit vulnerable, don't they?
Like, they've got nothing up top. So, like...
Nothing up top.
Just go for it, lads. Go for it. Uh-huh. They could draw against Croatia, but lots of other stuff has to go in their favour. So if they beat Croatia, like...
It's
a course towards Armenia and Turkey, aren't they?
It's true. I mean, Croatia are better than Wales. You can't forget that. But yeah, so if they were to win that game, and they have to go for it, there's no two ways about that.
Look forward to that match, though.
Yes, then there is still a chance because they still have Armenia away and then Turkey at home left to play. Now, that's two tall orders. Turkey have been pretty good in qualifying. They've won four out of six. They're top of the group. But Wales, I think they'll look back to that Armenia game at home. Mm. And I understand that Armenia, everything they hit that night went in. Like, it was a stunning array of goals. Mm. But it's those kind of ones where you think, but they've still got a chance. So all eyes on that one on Sunday evening. Gentlemen, did you see that Northern Ireland, they're facing San Marino tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. I mean, Northern Ireland won't be playing in the Euros, but they... You know, get a bit of pride in their group finishing and so on. In their last meeting, San Marino gave a debut to a 40-year-old. And if you're Northern Irish, you'd be like, play him again.
Yeah. Did he win a competition? I mean, there's a very, very small population in San Marino, right? Mm-hmm. So why not have fun with it?
Do you think it's like jury service? They're just in a ballot.
I really hope so. The full title of the place is the Most Serene Republic of San Marino. And I think they should be known as that more often.
Is that their full title?
That's the full title,
nice.
Yeah.
Like that.
Did they give themselves that name?
I don't know. It sounds a bit I feel like bullish, maybe, doesn't it? Which goes against the name.
Yeah, exactly. So I think maybe, do you think a lot of other sort of surrounding European countries went, no, you should have this.
Yeah, it's lovely here.
Yeah. That's right. Nice. Have you known anyone who's ever been to San Marino?
Can't say I have.
No. It's one of those, I think it's one of those places where you sort of go, oh, I'd quite like to visit. And it's like, you cannot get a direct flight there. No,
yeah, it's like a little blob in Italy, isn't it, essentially?
Yeah.
If you've been to San Marino, let us know.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. I reckon it's the type of place that where you might go and you'd be like, oh, yeah, this is not that great. Or you'd be like, everyone here drives three Ferraris. Do you know what I mean? Like, it could be like this really sort of little...
Like a Monaco or Monte Carlo style place.
Mm. Yes, a little wealth bubble to him.
Maybe.
Yes.
Nico Rosberg is poor here.
Well, anyway, Northern Ireland surely will be victorious against San Marino, you would think. Big one tonight, though, Netherlands versus France. Oh, in the same group, Ireland face Greece. Ireland... realistically out of the race for qualification, of course. But it is all to play for with the other teams in that group. Netherlands versus France is usually a tasty one, even though Netherlands have been a little out of sorts in sort of recent years. I mean, Andy Brassel said that without Xavi Simons, they are a good Burnley, which is
strong,
a bit of a
Well,
they're also going to be without Frankie de Jong, Matthijs de Ligt, Memphis Depay, Cody Gakpo and Sven Botman.
Yeah, and they lost the corresponding fixture 4-0, didn't they? So this is a tall order, you would think. Although home advantage, maybe we'll knock a goal off.
Well, it's interesting because Netherlands have played one more game than Greece in that group, and they're on the same points. So the Greeks will be desperate for a win against Republic. I'd be mad if the Netherlands missed out.
Yeah,
but they have missed out on major tournaments in recent years, I suppose. So perhaps we shouldn't be too surprised. I mean, and in elsewhere in Dutch football, speaking of teams that are struggling, Ajax are currently going through their worst start to a season in the club's history.
Yeah, this is mad.
They're in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
So Dutch football is having a funny old time. Last week, Ajax hired Louis van Gaal as what some are calling an advisor and others are calling a director.
Which is frightening, isn't it?
What's he calling it, Jim?
Well, this
that's
is,
what
this
I want to know.
A looming presence.
If no one knows, everyone else is just trying to get a handle on it. Everyone else is simply trying to understand what is happening.
Yeah.
What's happening is Louis van Gaal is here. We don't know who invited him.
Yeah.
He's here now. He's got a desk. He doesn't seem to be going anywhere, so we just have to accept this. And what's his title? What's happening?
Yeah.
What's happening?
It's like the impending London bedbug infestation, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, where we are powerless to stop it.
Yeah.
Bloody Eurostar.
Imagine that. Just a house full of Van Gaals. Oh, no.
Bloody hellfire, yeah. So, France are surely the favourites for the Euros. You know, in next summer in Germany. I want to see some evidence that, you know, if England faced them in the summer, that they might beat them.
I agree.
Right, okay.
But then they'll probably win this like 3-0. Although France, though, sometimes they do look
in
like
qualifying.
They're
stuff,
not that bothered.
Yeah.
They just kind of
canter to.
Yeah, let's get this done. It's like
do a handball.
Yeah, exactly. Portugal used to be like this.
Yeah,
they used to just be like, oh, do we have to qualify?
Oh, fine. Let's get it done.
They're well into it this time, though, aren't they? Portugal,
big time. Yeah, big time. Yeah.
Well, that, France, they've just got so much depth. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you pick our best team.
Yeah.
You think it is easy?
Even in the last World Cup, they missed key players.
Yeah, they didn't even notice.
And should have won it with the last kick of the game, but there we are. The fact is they didn't, and that gives us hope.
Mm.
Gives us all a bit of hope there, everybody.
Well, it's been a while since they utterly imploded. Mm. Deschamps seems to have put a stop to that, which is annoying.
Yeah, that is annoying, yeah. Mm. We need to get rid of him.
We need our Louis van Gaal.
Not like that. We need our Louis. Who's the English Louis van Gaal?
I don't know. We just need someone to sort of just loom in doorways,
Sam
steal
Allardyce,
lunch
it?
Money.
It's
and
Sam Allardyce. It is Sam Allardyce, yeah. That is so depressing.
Dispensing wet willies.
You might have to clarify what that is.
No. No, I don't want to.
Although I think he's gone now. I don't know who it is.
Mm.
Have we shed ourselves?
Has he ever truly gone?
Of the good
much like
men.
Van Gaal, you think it's done.
No,
he's back.
No, but Van Gaal's got, I mean, Van Gaal's got so much more pedigree and also has been there more recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a damning indictment.
Yeah, I suppose. But is it Ajax, not the Netherlands national team? Or is he working his way back up?
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, he just turns up where he likes and no one seems to be able to do anything about it. Yeah. But this Ajax situation is mad. But I've often wondered with them, like, they lose key players every summer and then they do a really incredible job of, like, regenerating those players. And surely, sooner or later, that it won't work and you end up in a situation like this.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I did. Yeah, we shall see. Gentlemen, let us talk very briefly, if we may, about some World Cup qualification. And it's not an obscure one, because World Cup qualification is well underway in South America, of course, for the 2026 World Cup. Did you see Venezuela got a lovely little point away to Brazil?
A very low bicycle kick.
Yeah, when the ball... I heard that there was...
It's almost like a backwards roll on
yeah,
the floor,
it is.
Isn't it?
I heard that there was an overhead kick equaliser for Venezuela. Yeah. Oh, I'll check this out. And as the cross comes in, I thought, oh, obviously... It's not this. Oh, that man should do the limbo.
Yes,
he'd be very
because usually in that sort of position, you sort of give yourself, you step back a couple of steps and then give yourself a sort of side sort of scissor kick.
Yeah,
but he just went full on roly poly backwards.
Indeed, he did. Cancelling out Gabriel's goal, Jim.
Mm.
Disrespectful to Arsenal.
Very disrespectful.
Yeah, you look at that Brazil. Yeah, you look at that Brazil side and you think, how on earth have they not made more of an impression on? On tournaments or specifically World Cups.
The pressure on them, I think, is the answer to that.
Yeah, but they've always had pressure, though.
Yeah, but it builds and builds and builds, isn't it? The longer you don't win, the higher it gets.
But at some point, so it just keeps building. And then if you win, do you pop it and it starts again?
I think so, yeah.
Or does that add more pressure for the next lot?
It does seem to be how Brazil operate, right?
I don't know. Well, it's been a little while, of course. Colombia drew 2-2 at home with Uruguay in a very entertaining game. James Rodriguez scored. And lovely to see him, the former Everton man, as he's known throughout the world. It's just, again, international football does that. You know, it's a bit like watching Galatasaray in the Champions League or something. You go, there he is. He scored a lovely goal as well, as he loves a volley against Uruguay, we know. And when he celebrated, I think he copied Jude Bellingham's celebration.
Yeah?
Which I understand people might say, oh, come on, he's just lifting his arms wide in the air. But he does it in a certain way, Bellingham, which I think you could say that is the Bellingham celebration.
Right.
And I think James... Or Jimmy
down there
Rodriguez.
In Sao Paulo, just watching that.
Yeah, that's where he plays now.
Mm.
I needed to check that as well.
Where's he gone?
Yeah, I just assumed he was in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
But he was there.
On him.
I love that the qualification for the 2026 World Cup is already fully underway.
Oh, there's a few games in.
I know, it's great. Yeah. I love it. I mean, you've been to South America, haven't you? It's different there. I love it.
It's nuts.
It's definitely different. I'll say that. Darwin Nunes scored a lovely injury time pen to equalise in that game. They were all there. Luis Diaz, all the big names.
Yeah.
And very entertaining draw. It was indeed. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great
great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Guys, sorry, you're live on Sky News. Your reaction to the win?
We lost.
Sorry, reaction to the loss. Apologies.
Get a Dixie till end of season.
Reaction to the loss?
Shit.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
Giving him the respect he deserves, I think.
Indeed. Tonight, Pete Donaldson.
Oh.
It's England versus Australia. One of the great sporting...
What sort of thing is happening here?
What sort of thing is happening here?
Oh, a bit of Graham Taylor.
30 years ago today, apparently.
Well, when Ronald Koeman should have got sent off against England away. Yep. When England went away. Disgraceful. I'm still angry about that, Jim.
I am.
Hold David Platt down.
Outrageous.
It is like...
genuine, look, massive injustice.
Yeah, people...
What sort of thing was happening there indeed?
When my dogs have kind of competitive barking matches at each other and I've got to run in to calm them down.
What sort of thing is happening here?
You've got more than one dog these days.
Yeah.
All right.
I've had two dogs.
I didn't know.
But
that.
One of them has got shared ownership.
Okay.
It's on layaway with my partner's ex.
Like some app.
You don't know anything about my private life? Anything more?
To be fair,
Gotta give one back sometimes.
I have stayed well away from your private life. Just in case I get called up to court and I've got plausible denial.
I'm going to go to Belize when that happens.
I'll see you
with
there.
Your files.
England versus Australia, one of the great sporting rivalries, according to Gareth Southgate. Mm. Not so much in football, although people keep going on about that game at Upton Park when Australia came and beat the Golden Generation 3-1.
Yes.
Francis Jeffers scoring for England that day.
Jeffers, nice.
Yeah, they have played
Robbie
since.
Robbie Slater on the pitch back then?
Yeah, almost certainly. Joe Mangle, they were all there.
Oh, that's a
funny
shame.
Little cartoon people, eh?
They're Ross, but they're always hot.
Yeah. Australians have been making a splash in English football of late, Peter. Mm. They've come at the perfect time. They're saving our football clubs.
They are.
They're driving other ones, previously unentertaining teams, making them entertaining, and driving them to the top of the league.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect time for Australia to come in and capitalise on all of that and say, oi! We're here to stay.
Look, my prediction for this is going to be a stodgy draw for me.
Brilliant.
I think England, Gareth's going to rest players for the big match next week. And I think Australia can be very dogged in their defending. So, I think it's going to be a listless one-aller.
So you're telling everybody not to stay in and watch this. Get the hell out
of
the house.
Get the hell out. Go and do anything else.
Get the hell out of Stodge.
Go and watch something on Viaplay, for crying out loud.
If you can. Did you see that Ange Postecoglou and Gus Hiddink popped in to speak to the Australia squad, Jim?
I did see that.
Which was nice. Gus Hiddink, such a legend, of course, of the Australian national team. A friend of mine, an Aussie friend of mine, I should clarify, said he had a little tear in his eye when he watched that footage. I said, be a man, mate. Ange was also speaking about the state of football in Australia this week.
It's very interesting, this.
Yes, it was. He was saying that
he was really laying down the gauntlet, wasn't he, about women's football in Australia, saying, you don't start putting resources into it now.
Yeah.
He said it won't happen. He looked like in Japan, and he said, you know, they are isolated, if you like, in terms of geographically where they are. And he said, but they've put in funding and all the rest of it and a lot of attention to women's football particularly, and they're reaping the rewards.
Yeah, and he said, I mean, the semi-final of the World Cup with England was huge, wasn't it? It was the most viewed thing on TV at all, let alone in sport.
So it was a chance to capitalise.
Absolutely
this.
Massive. And Postecoglou was saying that he doesn't think anything will come of that, that the opportunity will be missed. And I think that's why he left his post as Australia national team boss. He left before they went to a World Cup, which is quite amazing.
Principled.
Yeah, I mean, he did win them the Asia Cup, was it?
Yeah, absolutely. But he that is the sort of thing where you might look back on that and go, oh, that's a real shame that he didn't take that opportunity to take them into a World Cup. But he said, based on the opportunities that were in front of him at the time, the situation he was in his career, if he hadn't done that, he doesn't think he'd be where he is now. And it's really interesting to sort of hear him kind of retrospectively back himself like that. He's a very considered, thoughtful person.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
We love him.
We do. The darling of the Premier League, as I've said many times before.
I like him to a point.
Yes. I like the fact as well that now he's managing a Premier League club, he's just going back to Australia going, right, you lie, you're all rubbish. that's not what he was doing, I understand. Speaking of those who are being a little bit outspoken, Ollie Watkins has come out with some fighting talk before this game. He said, I think I go under the radar. I'm not talked about enough.
He needs a rebrand.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Beano character.
Do you think, although
he
was also talking about his newfound fame after he signed for Aston Villa, saying he used to pop to the shops and do all the shopping. So since he's gone to Villa, obviously he's now a proper Premier League player and all that. He said people would stop him and ask for selfies and da-da-da-da. And he said, I can't stand it anymore.
What does he want?
I don't know.
He was talking about Instagram a lot as well, saying that he doesn't really use it very much. And people are saying, oh, you need to post this, you need to post that, you need to be a bit more visible. Talking about how that might affect his the way he's perceived and the way that he's, indeed, yeah, where he you know, pops up on certain radars.
Yeah.
I hope that's not true, because that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? But I mean, I guess these are the things modern footballers think about. You want to be in the conversation a lot and therefore thought of more. So
lick
perhaps there is something to it.
I think lick a raw chicken.
Yeah, lick a raw chicken. I mean, it'll get you hits. Does it get you the right kind of hits, though, Peter? Yeah. I think Watkins has got a fair point. I mean,
imagine if Ollie Watkins becomes like the next Mr. Beast. doing crazy stunts.
Yeah, he's doing a flying fox across Villa Park. I always think he comes across well in interviews, Ollie Watkins, actually, when he's chatting away. And he's a handsome man, so I'm always pleased to see him on the screen.
He's good in the supermarket as well.
Wonderful. Yeah, well, he takes the heat off you, Peter. That's why you go around with
it. I could get so much shoplifting done. Hey, Ollie Watkins is over there. I'm stealing razors.
Razors.
They're the most valuable thing for the smallest amount of stuff.
Yeah.
Shoplifting tips.
Is this a thing?
Have you not seen his YouTube channel?
10 things all you need to steal from the supermarket right now.
I see. Well, I've been scrambling around in the dark, clearly, all this time. But Watkins, though...
I can sell you a torch.
I appreciate that. Do the batteries included?
The little aisle, clearly.
Watkins, though, a lot of people within this parish have been saying he should be in the England squad.
I would like to see him start tonight.
Really?
What's the point in playing Harry Kane in a game like this?
Yeah,
because he wants
true.
His goals so he can just give away more records or something.
That's
greedy boy.
When Pete says he gives away more records, and people think, well, you don't know that he means those physical records that he got.
Yeah, of course. That was weird.
That was weird. But I know what you mean, Jim. Why not do that? Although some would argue, though, that if Southgate is experimental with the players out wide, then he sees them playing with Kane.
Yeah, right. I suppose their games are quite different as well.
Yeah, I mean, there is a chance for players to be played out wide, because obviously Bukayo Saka's injured, who a lot of people would have him as a nailed-on starter for England, so he won't be there. There's a few other injuries. Eber Echieza is out as well. Luke Shaw's out as well. And the reason why I'm mentioning him is that because Saka and Luke Shaw have both reported to St George's where they train and stay, just to be a part of it.
just right. to hang they're, out so with the
still,
guys.
They're still there. I didn't realise that. I knew Saka had gone to be assessed by the England medicals team, and they were like, oh, yeah, he is injured. I didn't realise I'd hung around.
Yeah, I think that's nice. I think that's what they're doing. You know,
they're just in the pool?
Yeah, in the pool, wearing those lovely tracksuits, playing a bit of table tennis.
Nice.
Seeing James Maddison perform on social media, you know, as he likes to do. It's all there. Jack Grealish could start against Australia. He did the press conference with Gareth Southgate. And it was quite interesting because... Look, Southgate is asked many, many different questions. You know, he's often asked questions that are not to do with football. Mm. And of course, you know...
Quite rightly in many ways.
Indeed, yeah.
In many cases.
In many cases.
And he's fallen quite short recently as well.
Well, some would argue, yes, some would argue he hadn't. But I did
Gareth, what do you think about the current shoplifting spree in Lyon C? Who's behind it?
I don't know, he sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah, I just thought to myself, yeah, they'll just stick those kind of questions to Gareth Southgate, maybe not. But it was quite interesting hearing Jack Grealish talk about various things, particularly the start of the season he's had, because he's had a tricky start due to an injury he got in August against Sheffield United, and he said, you might all laugh at me now, because it was a dead leg, but it was the worst dead leg I've ever had in my life. And you could imagine him at a school, couldn't you?
Yeah.
But he also talked about... that this season and off the back of the treble winning season. He says, I don't mean this to sound weird, but it is difficult in a way because you have such a high of winning the treble and then you do think to yourself, well, what would ever top that? And then he did say, you know, obviously an international trophy. But he kind of, Grealish was wanting to say it's difficult to get yourself up for this season because of what happened last season, yeah. But he wouldn't actually say those words. And he said, I thought to myself, well, maybe we can do something that we didn't do last season, like the Carabao Cup, but we're out of that.
Yeah.
Then maybe we could do an invincible season, but we got beaten by Wolves. And it was just like, Jack, we know what you're saying. So yeah.
It's true,
go.
Though, isn't it? It's a phenomenon that's been spoken about a lot by you know, many players in the past.
Yeah, and you would imagine, like last season with Man City, who... took a while to get going, you know, this first 6 months of the season, you know, they may sort of take a little while, even though they are still going pretty well, and then they'll come good. Yeah. But I think
hopefully
Jack Grealish...
they won't come good, though. Hopefully they'll just fuck off.
Well, Jack Grealish, would you like to see him start against Australia, Jim?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I always like to see him start.
Yeah.
He's fun, isn't he?
I mean, the big game, of course, is Italy on Tuesday night.
Yes.
And so you would imagine, unless playing an absolute blinder, those who start in those positions, specifically those positions against Australia, perhaps wouldn't start against Italy. So who would you have against Australia and then against Italy? So you would like this Grealish to start. He started away when they went to Naples and they won 2-1. Mm-hmm. Would you have Grealish in there? Or would you have maybe Phil Foden, obviously, you know, he's a favourite.
Phil Foden was excellent in the last set of games, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. So I think he's earned his starting berth.
You know, you've got Rashford in there as well.
Rashford's a funny one, isn't he? His form is not great for Man United at the moment.
Mm-hmm. But usually Southgate deploys him or starts him in games England are expected to win. Presumably there's a bit more space. You've got to, you know, chances. So I think Rashford will probably start tonight. But then what about James Maddison? Could he come in against Italy?
I think if Maddison's going to play against Italy... or if he's got a chance of playing against Italy, we'll probably see him tonight. Mm-hmm. Because I think he's still being...
assessed.
Yeah, I was going to say auditioned, but that's not the right word, is it? Assessed is right, isn't he? And sort of integrated more. Because Southgate likes to know a lot about his players in a lot of different situations. And Maddison hasn't had that many minutes on the pitch in an England shirt yet. So,
Well, he spoke about kind of, obviously, he being around the camp. I think he came with a bit of baggage earlier on in his career about like what he got up to, like off the field a little bit. And he...
They thought he was a bit gobby.
That was a bit gloomy, yeah.
Which and is a little bit.
Well, that's absolutely fine. All he talks about is fucking dinner. Just stop talking about dinner. He's constantly hungry. Give that man a KFC for crying out. Yeah, he sort of said that it was really important for him to be around the squad at a tournament because it just showed Gareth Southgate, even though he didn't get any minutes, like it just showed him that he could. He's a good old.
I'm a good egg.
I can cut that steak. I don't need any help.
Jared Bowen's in there.
Yeah, I was going to suggest Bowen, actually.
Get Bowen in there.
I think on form and fun,
yeah.
Which obviously as England fans we care about a lot more than the management setup.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Watkins, Bowen and Grealish?
I'm she'll rubbing my thighs.
Yeah, I think because Watkins, nice little reference there, Peter.
Thank you.
I think that Watkins... So when we used to say that say Dominic Calvert-Lewin was the backup striker to Kane in the previous Euros, or Callum Wilson at the World Cup, they're very different players to Kane. Yeah. You know, we've mentioned that Ivan Toney is perhaps the most Kane-like, if you like, but obviously he's not available for obvious reasons. Ollie Watkins, I think, is a bit more rounded as a striker, say compared to the likes of say Calvert-Lewin or Wilson. in that, you know, you look at the assists he gets as well. He's got a bit more about him. So I think that if you are playing on the flanks as an England striker, you'd probably want to play up front with Watkins a bit more, maybe, than Kane, because it's that kind of thing. With Kane, I think that him and Bowen would probably play quite well. Kane likes to sometimes play the wingers in, doesn't he? Mm. And Jarrod Bowen loves to get on those balls.
Absolutely. And also, similarly, as we've said many times about Watkins, his strength is 1v1s and running onto things. Mm-hmm. And Madison teeing those balls up makes a lot of sense as well. So that would be a nice
Madison,
combo.
Where, Madison, do you put him on, say, the left
side? Possibly starting on the left. Yeah, that tends to be where he's been effective.
Yeah, I mean,
Matt,
he has been very, very good. I think against Australia, you can afford to have a midfield three of, say, you know, it probably Rice seems to start, doesn't he? And or he may.
Might be Rice, Bellingham, Madison.
Well, Rice, Bellingham, Madison would be it. Or Foden in there. I think you could do that. But when you're playing against a better side like Italy.
Italy, it'll be Rice, Phillips, Bellingham for sure.
Which I think is it.
And I agree. That is also delicious.
That is very delicious. Because people might say, oh, they're two central, two holding midfielders. Well, I think you look at this England team and you think, you have to get the best out of Bellingham.
Mm-hmm.
He just seems to trump everybody.
Yeah.
And if doing that means you put one less, if you like, whatever the right word is, creative a midfielder around him, yeah, and you just bolster it up a little bit.
You've still got four very, very talented attacking players.
Indeed
there.
You do.
And obviously Rice is quite good at getting up and down when he needs to as well. So I think, yeah, that bit of extra security is sensible.
Yeah, but anyway, we'll talk about that, of course, on next week when it happens. Peter, you mentioned James Maddison loves to talk about dinner. He's been doing it again.
Oh, God.
He's been speaking about his post-match nutrition. I'll have a big chippy. That's my recharge meal. I love a big chippy. Fish, chips, sausage, curry. Fish and sausage.
Yeah, that's my order, to be fair. Yeah.
You're joking.
Yeah, every time we got the chippy, it's fish, battered sausage, chips, gravy, curry sauce, and...
Curry sauce and gravy.
A pickle.
Jim, that is an absolute feast.
A pickle.
Oh, nice. I've never... Fish and sausage. To me, it's like you go one or the other.
Well, I mean,
we're all grown ups.
We're not feasting, though, are we? These guys are.
That's true. Yeah,
one of the more healthy fast foods, I think, isn't it? I don't.
Well, the fish itself is not. It's the batter.
No, it's the batter that does you in.
It is the batter. Yeah. It does you in.
I'll stick to shoplifting.
Yeah, covered in salt and vinegar. That's fairly standard. And then he ended by saying, "My mouth is watering a little at the thought of it."
Mine too, James.
To me, this is a recycling of some of Jack Grealish's old material.
He's talking about Chinese,
where he has a big free for all in his words.
I'm trying to remember.
Our England team are so hungry. Feed our England
team.
It's
what we want. Do you remember when David Bentley went on international duty, whether once or twice he did, and he was talking about it?
Right.
And he said that... Oh, no, it was Jimmy Bullard. That's right. Jimmy Bullard, when he got called up for the England squad. I don't think he ever played for England. And he said he got there, and he said he was absolutely starving because they didn't feed him
Right.
And he was like, this is ridiculous. And I think he was mates with David Bentley, or maybe he was rooming with him or something. There was a David Bentley connection there. Mm. And he was like, David, I'm absolutely starving. And he said, Bentley just started laughing his head off and went, don't worry, I'll sort us out. And he makes a call and someone turns up and hands them a bag of McDonald's through their window.
Nice.
Yeah. No wonder they didn't play for England that much, the pair of them. But yeah, maybe it's a thing. I don't know. I'm concerned, certainly. Well, everybody, myself and Jim will be bringing you a little Ramble Reacts bonus pod after the game tonight, which will be ready in your podcast app first thing tomorrow morning. So get your ears around that lot. Gentlemen, Italy versus Malta Saturday evening. Italy are second in England's group, level on points with Ukraine and North Macedonia, who play also on Saturday. Hey, interesting one. Of course, we know that a couple of the Italian players, including Tonali, have had to pull out because of an investigation going there, so they're slightly weakened. But you would expect Italy to beat Malta, wouldn't you, Jim?
You absolutely would. And I sort of keep forgetting we've got to play Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a foregone conclusion, is it? A lot of people seem to think it is.
Top two go through.
Indeed.
So you think England might not qualify?
It's not that England might not qualify. Obviously, they're going to qualify, but I think this might be a tricky game.
Very
the arrogant English.
Yeah. Arrogant.
And yes. Typical English arrogance over here.
Absolutely.
Put some vinegar on your roast beef. Disgusting.
So, yeah, so you think, yeah, well, it is really all eyes on that Italy game, of course. Mm. And that game in Naples was such a game of two halves, wasn't it?
Yes.
And we won it, though, which is the main thing. Gentlemen, a couple of little bits of admin surrounding Italian men, if you will. Colin Kazim Richards revealed this week that during his time at Turkish Super League club Karagümrük last season, the then manager, Andrea Pirlo, who I'd totally forgotten had managed in Turkey, he would allow... He would allow players to smoke at half time.
Incredible, they even
half time. Not like, oh, you can smoke. Yeah. God, lads, spark up.
Yeah, they won't let you do it on the pitch. So chain if you have to.
Like quite a
half time.
I mean, it's worse because I still think Colin Casares is 16. So yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah, he's not
that's
allowed.
Abuse. He's had 37.
Quite
37.
Phenomenal career.
A long Wikipedia, let's say. But I would say that the way that he describes it, he says that they were non-stop smoking.
Yeah,
that pushes it from just having a social cigarette half time with a. Record breakers. I'm in the 70s and I'm smoking.
A social cigarette at half time.
A social little chat.
This is outrageous.
Everyone just calm down. Drink water. Smoke a tab.
I tell you what, David Ginola's thinking, that's the team for me.
That's the team for me, yeah.
He loved it, didn't he?
Yeah. Hated the fish and chips, though.
He did, yeah. Well, he said that was his point. He said he didn't, he couldn't have a cigarette because he smoked when he was the only two times I've seen David Ginola in the flesh, he's been outside of an establishment smoking.
On a cig, yeah.
One recently when we were off at Newcastle outside a curry house. Which was good to see.
You saw David Ginola outside of Curry House.
Yeah.
Wasn't the first thing you said when reaching the Newcastle Hotel, is it, where is Novi Solano's restaurant?
I did ask. Yeah.
Got the concierge, first thing, not even checked in yet, where's Novi Solano's restaurant?
He said, would you like some recommendations for dinner? And I said, it's Novi Solano's restaurant. And honestly, he looked like I had mentioned an ex of his that ended badly. And he just went, I haven't heard that mentioned for years.
That's a place I've not heard about in a long time.
The monorail. The Newcastle monorail.
I remembered where it was, though, because it wasn't that far away from where we stayed when we went on a live show, and right enough, it wasn't there. Maybe it was just a dream, Jim. I don't know.
Your travel priorities fascinate me.
Oh, well. But yeah, so smoking at half time, good. I would just.
Smoking at half time, good.
Yeah. Imagine, like, if you. Presumably, most of them weren't smokers. They were just like, come on.
Hotboxing.
Yeah, hotboxing the dressing room. Oh,
tired.
Bloody Nora. Elsewhere, speaking of Italian men, Carlo Ancelotti received an honorary degree from the University of Parma. That's nice, isn't it?
I like to see that man holding a scroll.
Yeah.
I think it's an assuring presence for me.
That's right.
He's got a plan. He's got a scroll. He knows what's happening.
He's a doctor now, isn't he?
Yeah, of course.
He makes him Dr. Carlo Ancelotti, which really has a nice ring.
Very nice ring indeed. All right, everybody, it's time for the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. With Betfair, you can build your football accumulators this season with their 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today and every Friday, each of us will choose our own weekend game and build an Acca of 4 match odds, 90 bets. This week, we're picking from the Euro qualifiers. BT, kick us off.
I'm going for Burnley versus France, Netherlands versus France. And whenever everybody gets excited about a big match like this, it always ends in a one-all draw. So I'm going to go for the draw. That's all right, Marcus.
That's fine.
Just the draw.
Indeed. Jim, what about you?
I'm going to go for one that I think maybe not controversial, but surprising to some people. I'm going to go for Ireland to beat Greece.
Okay.
I think Evan Ferguson is a superstar in the making and has every opportunity of doing some damage to the old Greeks.
There we are. Andy Brassel has got our third pick, and he had this to say.
Hello, Ramblers. Andy here. Now, according to my calculations, Northern Ireland need to win to still be able to finish in the top two, although that doesn't matter if Denmark and Slovenia win. Look, they're going to win. It's San Marino. They have to. Even if it's not about keeping hope alive, it's towards building for the next tournament, seeding, etc. They're going to do it. Come on. Northern Ireland to beat San Marino.
Andy went for the gimme
Beautiful.
Andy went for the gimme. I have gone for Hungary versus Serbia. Hungary to win. I think they're going to beat Mitrovic and co. Yeah. So there are our bets. Pete's gone for Netherlands and France to draw. Jim's gone for Ireland to beat Greece. Andy's gone for Northern Ireland to beat San Marino. And I've gone for Hungary to beat Serbia. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £176.90. pence. If we win, all that money goes to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their Match Odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by stoppage-type drama won't be affected. And that's the same for our Ramble Acca every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Stab this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Yes, Jack's Encyclopedia is back for another Friday. There's only two of you in competition, so this is going to be a quick and violent affair, I imagine.
Yeah. Guaranteed silver medal for one of us.
Exactly. Simple game of categories. It's the top of the groups. The top two qualify. If you go too slow, I'm going to be playing Gary Neville's Orgasm, which will give you 7 seconds. Andy Jim by the skin of his teeth last week, but Marcus is the lineal champion, so Jim can claim the belt from him.
Oh, no!
Are you ready, Marcus Bell? You're going to kick us off, if that's
right
with you.
Right, okay.
You might be hearing this. You might be hearing this.
Can I choose which one?
Yes, you can, by getting the answer right. The round one is countries that England have beaten at major tournaments since 2000. Can someone get Marcus a pen, please? Countries that that England have beaten at major tournaments since the year 2000. So that's including Euro 2000.
Oh, okay, all right? Great.
We're not counting the finals of the Nations League as a major tournament.
Oh, that hurts.
And we are including teams that England have beaten on penalties. All right. 18 countries. Countries that England have beaten at major tournaments since the year 2000.
Denmark.
Did it twice.
Tunisia.
Tunisia. Yes.
Ukraine.
Ukraine twice.
Colombia.
Colombia. Correct.
Czech Republic.
Czech Republic. Correct.
Wales.
Wales. Twice.
Croatia.
You have. Twice.
Sweden.
Oh, I like it. Twice.
Senegal.
Senegal. We done it.
Germany.
Yep. Germany. We'll do it again for the third time. It was twice.
Iran.
Iran. Nice.
People will see what I'm doing here.
Panama.
Panama, yep.
Who shall I have now?
Clip that.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, lovely.
It's getting a bit thin now.
It is getting a bit thin, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a difficult one.
It's Torres. Oh!
It is Torres, isn't it?
Four left.
Smear.
We did not meet Smear. Congratulations, Marcus, for winning that round. Could have had Argentina, could have had Ecuador. Got any more for us, Marcus?
Ecuador, yeah.
Paraguay, Slovenia, and Switzerland. Oh, lovely.
Slovenia was the Capello one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, Jim Campbell, you are up to the plate for the second round. Congratulations, Marcus, for winning the first one.
That was pretty good, though, I think.
Yeah, pretty good. England players who have been sent off in full internationals. England players who have been sent off in full internationals.
Full internationals.
15 players.
Full internationals.
Jim, full internationals.
Okay.
Full internationals. England players. Get the old Jimmy Red.
Paul Gascoigne.
Paul Gascoigne. Mm-mm-mm.
Fuck, of course
Jimothy.
It was a booking, wasn't it? Fuck.
It was a booking.
Oh, fuck
if
this.
Gary Lineker was doing the eyes. Gary Lineker, Bobby Robson. Okay. Keep an eye on him. I can, he's in the dressing room.
So a full international.
I've been Jim Campbell. See you later.
I don't know. I just can't think. Has anyone made a documentary which features Jim?
Oh, he's so smug.
Part of me wants to get it wrong so you can come back in.
Yeah.
Do it. Please do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You need this, Marcus, more than anyone.
Play the orgasm.
Oh, he's going to do the orgasm to the end.
David Beckham.
Yeah.
Oh, you idiot.
Correct. Me. Well done, Marcus Speller.
I'd already written down Ray Wilkins, Reece James,
and Alan Smith.
I came here for a shootout!
Trevor Cherry in 1977.
God, Trev.
Oh, cheers. God, Trev. Lovely.
Trev, cheers.
Wayne Rooney against Portugal and Montenegro. Yeah. Yeah. You got Steven Gerrard in there versus Ukraine. Rob Green versus Ukraine.
Oh,
Ray Wilkins versus Morocco. Raheem Sterling versus Ecuador. Paul Scholes versus Sweden. He must have been very close to being in that particular point. Paul Ince, Luke Shaw, Kyle Walker, Harry Maguire, good old Hazard, David Batty, Alan Smith, Alan Mullery in 1968 against Yugoslavia. Do those still count if that country doesn't exist anymore?
Maybe not.
He gets the third. He gets a yellow.
It does count.
And
Peter.
Alan Ball, 1973 versus Poland. Congratulations, Marcus. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. A good game is a quick game, and we're out of here.
Business.
Didn't even need the third round.
Yeah.
God's sake, Jim.
I know.
Wish Jim had won.
Don't tweet me. I won't reply.
Tweet him. All of you tweet him.
Everyone tweet him. X him. X that Jim.
Oh, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network, of course. Remember, join us tomorrow for Ramble Reacts with myself and old Jimmy there after England versus Australia. Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. The keys are in the lock. The door is open. Peter, get out there.
Get out there.
Gorge yourself.
Get out
on...
there. I'm in the shops. I'm grabbing the security tags. If you are in the dressing room in a shop, do bring a fork. You can remove tags that way. And if you have them at home and they are filled with ink, consider freezing them because they won't bleed on your clothes that you've stolen.
Of course, if you just find someone's receipt, pick it up, put all the same stuff in your basket, take it to the checkout.
They're not going to check the
thing,
times.
If the thing beeps, exactly, hold your finger on the time.
Yeah. You know those little cardboard policemen they put in the front of the pound shops? Yeah. Worthless.
It might not be the food you want, but it will be free.
Consider holding up a lorry.
Right, that's it. I've shut the gate. I've locked the door. No one's going for a weekend. See you soon. You don't get goodbyes.
Congratulations, Jim Campbell, for that win. Nice.
Jim.
Didn't even need to get to the third round.
No.
Sorry?
No. The decision's been made.
What?
You just give Jim the win.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No. Right. No. Your decision is final. That's the rule.
But the music, Jim.
The music, that could have been doctored in the edit. I remember hearing that I'd won.
Have I been VAR'd?
Sorry.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.